frame has hung for decades in my aunt's house. She and my late uncle shared a career as attorneys, and several other members of the family do as well. And in that frame is a bumper sticker, and it asks, "Have you hugged your lawyer today?" Given the preponderance of them in the family, the answer was almost always yes. And my mind flashed to that frame. Because to be honest, it's been a bad 2 weeks in the Gospels for scribes and Pharisees, the rough equivalent of civil and canon lawyers in first century Palestine. But it's kind of hard to feel bad for them. Today and last Sunday, they have distinguished themselves only as the villains in two of the greatest accounts of love and of mercy ever told. The parable of the prodigal son last week, and today the story of the woman taken or caught in adultery. These familiar titles that we throw around are a bit curious, because the names on the marquee don't really reflect, or not fully, the stars of the show. The sins of the prodigal son, or of the pardoned woman today, are at best half the story. Jesus actually addresses the parable of the prodigal son to the scribes and Pharisees. Like the older brother, they are exteriorly dutiful and obedient, but inside were all resentment and bile. The contrast between them and the merciful Father was, and is, stark. And we see something similar today in the gospel I just read, where Jesus' tenderness and mercy is made to contrast with the violence and hypocrisy of, you guessed it, the scribes and Pharisees. These passages show us two kinds of sin. The first, often called sins of excess, is represented by the prodigal son and by the woman taken in adultery, the names on the marquee, as it were. The second kind of sin is self-righteousness, that favored vice of scribes and Pharisees. And wherever we are on our spiritual journey this Lent, this fifth Sunday, these gospels are addressed to us. Last week, we were asked to see ourselves in the face of a young man who essentially wished his father dead, who squandered his inheritance, and who was forced into public repentance and humiliation, not by virtue, but by fear of starvation. And today, we contemplate the face of a young woman threatened with death for a mistaken moment of intimacy, who was hauled into the harsh light of public ridicule, not because anyone was concerned with her or about her, but because they were trying to trap Jesus. Like each of these individuals, we are asked to accept the love of God. And that may be harder than it sounds. It is a love that sees the places in our lives that are judged harshly by others, but usually by ourselves, a love that knows well the things we usually either ignore or obsess over in our quiet moments, that we try to hide or wish to forget. Our shame, our regrets, whether recent or long past, the parts of us that are self-destructive, addicted, scared. Even these, especially these, God looks upon with tenderness and with mercy. The rub is, God invites us to do the same. The prodigal son and the woman taken in adultery had to look what they did in the face, which is part of repentance, of forgiveness, and frankly, of liberation. God refuses to let us be defined by the worst thing we have ever done. Thank God. And God refuses to let us pretend that it didn't happen in the first place. If we are invited to see ourselves in these gospels, then there's something else that needs to be said. We must face the possibility that we are not, or not only, the prodigal son or the pardoned woman. I can't speak for each of you and will not, but I see myself more readily, much more readily, in the place of the older brother last week. Giving, yes, but always counting the cost. Convinced that I am the dutiful one. Sure that I work the hardest, though no one else seems to notice. For that matter, I can see myself lurking in the shadows of this week's gospel, assured of my own rightness, certain in my views on the matter at hand, whatever that may be, and willing to trap, tear down, and even throw stones if necessary, verbal or otherwise. I am not proud of this, but I am confident in the existence of my inner Pharisee. I feel his cold hand on my shoulder when I gossip, even about people I love. When I blame others around me for things that I know are at least partly my fault. Or when I scapegoat somebody, anybody, for the complex problems of our country, of our city, of our church. I hear his voice whenever I stop too long on a cable news channel. When I draft a tart comment on social media, and perhaps worst of all, when I get behind the wheel of a car within 35 miles of this city. That voice is a seductive voice, because you know what? It tells me what I want to hear. That I am a genius forced to live on a planet stupid. And everybody else, as usual, is just in the way. And by your giggles, I gather you may have heard his voice once or twice yourself. These readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent say one thing very clearly, that God is doing something new. And that something new is ages old. It is forgiveness and it is mercy. Forgiveness and mercy for the sins of excess typified by the woman in today's gospel, and by her curiously absent male counterpart, mercy for the sins of the prodigal son. But mercy also, and this may be harder, for the sin of self-righteousness, that vice of the scribes and Pharisees, of the prodigal's older brother, and maybe, just maybe, for a few of us as well. The question is not whether we hug our Pharisee today. It's whether we're willing to acknowledge that he or she is in our heart in the first place. And in the end, whether we are willing to drop the stone and walk away.